Welcome to Banfield. A warning for you tonight. Online scams like we've never seen them before. Call them scams on steroids. There are some new techniques out there that crooks are using to swindle your life savings, and they are so good that even the people whose job it is to detect online scams are falling for them. Just a few years ago, the scams were really easy to spot. You know, bad spelling mistakes and suspicious addresses and the red flag Nigerian prince immediately requesting money. But that is not the case anymore. These new scams are so subtle, realistic, and specific that it's easy to think you're actually talking to a family member, a friend, a store, or even a bank. But they are con artists. Let me show you a few scams that were just sent to me as recently as today. Some easy to flag, some not so easy. So the first one's pretty straight to the point. I have a deal for you. I'm like, nobody would fall for that. Here's another one. The subject line says, nice to mate you. Okay, aside from the fact that the scammer wants to mate me, he goes on to say, hello, I'm a senior marketing director. I have a client who has an interest in investing in your country. Kind of another no-brainer, but it gets worse. This next one looks pretty real. 2022, welcome to your life insurance offer. But the graphic says invoice ninja. So you might feel compelled to take action here, especially if it's an invoice, right? And check out this next one. Due to a system error, you were double charged for your last order. A refund process was initiated but could not be completed due to errors in your billing information. I have seen and heard that a lot before. And it's worrisome because this has a really legitimate Amazon logo, has a reference number, all of it looks very legitimate. Stuff I've seen before and responded to before. And here's another one supposedly from Amazon. And it reads, we lock your Amazon account and hold all of your last orders. To unlock your account, you can click the button below and proceed with identity verification to prove that it's your account. Now, if you're slightly diligent about things like security, I am, you might want to try to verify the emailer. That's when you just go and hover on the emailer's name and then you click it and it should come up with a real Amazon.com or something. And in this case, it does come up from a legitimate account, believe it or not. It actually comes up from Amazon.com, which is really stressful. The only thing is it's not from Amazon. It's a scammer. And the scammer has masked Amazon's email address so that it really does look like Amazon.com. It is something that's nearly impossible to decipher. So it's not unreasonable that you might click on that link and enter your login and your password. Anyone can fall for this, especially folks who aren't that tech savvy, but even young professionals who know what to look for. I'm joined by Nicole Vowell right now. She is a former news reporter who has covered scams like these for nearly 10 years. And yet she, too, was recently taken for $13,000 in an online scam. Nicole, it's astounding. I can't even believe that it happened to someone like you. What happened and how did it happen?
Yeah, just hearing all of the stories from the scams that you were just mentioning that you've gotten, it seems like, you know, red flags would go off sooner than they did, but it didn't happen that way for me. I was on Instagram, it was just before the holidays, probably around November, and a friend of mine who I've known for about 10 years, I've been friends with him on Instagram, friends with him on Facebook, it was his profile, he posted a story, an Instagram story, and it said he was giving away money for the holidays for charity. And if I could name a name that started with an A and end with an A, then I would get $1,000. First, I was like, okay, whatever. I sent him a name, Elena, I think I used, was the name that I sent him. And then he goes into this spiel about if I want to invest in this company, he works for Pepsi Bottling Company. And he sent me this whole spiel. And I was like, no, I'm good. Like, Darius, no. Like, I just... was bored, honestly, and sent the name. And then he's like, no, Nicole, seriously, you can invest with me. Here's my ID. It's me. He sent me a photo of his ID on Instagram in my DMs to prove that it was him and that it was a legitimate investment opportunity. So I was like, okay, Darius, like, tell me a little bit more. And I've known Darius for 10 years. So I figured, you know, he's a really great guy. I owed my mom a little bit of money for for something. I was like, you know, I could maybe make a quick return on investment and pay my mom back for the holidays. And so one thing led to another. I ended up investing a little bit here and there over a couple months. And then $13,000 later, I realized
you didn't give you the return that you expected. Here's what I find shocking about this. It isn't that someone you know reached out and said, hey, do this. It was someone you know reached out to you with language that was specific to you, with an ID that was obviously his. Whoever had his, whoever had taken over his identification knew him to a T and knew the connection between the two of you. And so it just looked and sounded like this was your friend Darius. It's a little unnerving. It's a lot unnerving.
It's so unnerving that I've like completely gotten off social media and I don't know who I'm speaking to. And partially to detox from social media for the beginning of the year, but also you don't know who you're speaking to. And how we figured out this whole thing was I had made an investment. It was just before the holidays. I was visiting Michigan. I was like, you know, I know where Darius works. Let me just like go to his work and like talk to him in person. A friend of mine who had his phone number, which I did not have because I'd moved around the country for the last 10 years for my job in TV news. I lost some phone numbers along the way. And so my friend had his phone number. We call Darius on the phone and say, hey, Darius, we're going to come by and get the money that, you know, you've been talking to Nicole about. He's like, oh, no, wait. No. My Instagram has gotten hacked. I got scammed. They stole my identity. They stole all of my social media pages. And there's no money. And in that moment, my stomach...
He was a victim too.
Dropped. My stomach dropped. I was like, wow, I've got had. Yeah. So...
Did you have any recourse, Nicole? Could you chase it down in any way? Or was it basically, well, that's a lesson learned and a painfully expensive one. Even though you're young, you could make it back. I mean, when you're in your 60s, it's not as easy to recover that kind of money.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm very fortunate and blessed to have the job that I have to earn the money back and put it back in my own pocket. But at that moment, I was, you know, Darius, you got to be joking me, right? So I ended up going to Darius's business. And I said, he told me the whole story, showed me his Instagram, showed me how he got had. He told me that he'd fallen for the same thing and thought that he was talking to one of his friends on Facebook. And then they stole all of his information. And so it was just like a trickle down effect. And then I said, I got to get the story out there. That's the only thing I can do is help
share
the story.
Are you worried that friends of yours are receiving communication from Nicole, making it look very much like you two are, you know, close because they may have received this kind of identity information from you as well. And other friends of yours could be being scammed under your name.
I'm actually not worried about that only because I didn't fall for the scam as far as Darius did. Darius actually sent Darius a link that he offered a lot of his private information and I did not go that far. So I still have retained all of my social media and all of that. I still own my social media. So I didn't go that far, but I did call the FBI.
And what did they say? Did they say you have any shot at anything other than we'll look into it, try to catch the guy, but you can kiss that 13K goodbye?
Well, I can definitely kiss the 13K goodbye. That's never going to be seen. Mm-hmm. But I called the FBI, and they're really hard to get a hold of, even though I have connections. So I'm still waiting on a return phone call for them to follow through with the actual report. But I mean, I guess they scammed the wrong person because I was an investigative reporter for years, and I follow things through. And so, you know, I'm going to be following up with the FBI on this.
Well, here's what I love about you, other than how great you are at telling the story, it's that you are telling the story. So many people, they fall inward. They're so ashamed. They're so embarrassed that they fell for this stuff. But there you are, smart, aggressive. You're out there. You get social media. You're online for a living. And it hit you. So you're hitting out there and making sure people hear your story to try to, you know, make them realize it's not like it used to be. It's really sophisticated. Thank you for doing this, Nicole. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ashley. If I could say one more thing, you feel so helpless, and then the only thing you can do is share a story sometimes to make people, I felt like I needed to share the story so other people weren't scammed. That was the only way I could get any type of good feeling out of this.
Coming up, I'm just going to tell the viewers who may feel the same way you do. I have a little secret, but coming up, there's some vengeance that they're going to be able to delight in. And that's just a little tease ahead. But definitely, okay. I know you feel helpless. But if anything, it's kind of fun to watch some of those scammers really suffer. And we're going to show that in just a few minutes. So thank you for doing this, Nicole.
Thank you.
Okay, I also want to bring in Chris Swecker. You know, Chris is the former assistant director of the FBI Criminal Investigations Unit. He's also the former head of the FBI's Criminal and Cyber Investigations Division. And if that's not expert enough, when he left the FBI, he became chief security officer at Bank of America, running the department that investigated fraud and phishing emails. So pretty much, Chris, nobody knows more about people out there trying to scam you than you, Chris Swecker, does. Okay, so first, you heard Nicole's story, and I'll bet it's no surprise to you.
No, unfortunately not. This is happening all across the country in so many different ways, and it's tragic. I share her pain with trying to get a hold of the FBI on this because they don't work $13,000 losses. They try to aggregate them up and get them up to the $1 million, you know, half a million dollar level. That's what they'll work these days. But there is a place you can report it to, and that's called the Internet Crime Complaint Center, IC3. That's where any fraud or scam like this needs to be reported, because that's where they do the analysis, aggregate the information, and go after the scammers.
How do I get to the Internet Crime Complaint, the IC3? Where do you go for that?
The website, just Google IC3, Internet Crime Complaint Center. They'll walk you right through the whole process. It'll satisfy, one, getting a report into a federal law enforcement agency. It helps aggregate the information from across the country so they can do analysis on it. And that $13,000 case might match up with a $20,000 case in Omaha or other, you know, it'll aggregate all that and turn it into a case that they will investigate. And they can actually run undercover operations on the internet and go after these scammers.
And that leads to my next question. That is that they seem so much more sophisticated than the individuals who were just, you know, poking around to see if they could just find someone dumb enough. Right now, these things are really hard to spot, including, I think you saw the example I played off the top of the show, and that was an email that came from Amazon.com. That's what I was always taught to do. Hover on the name, click on the name, and see if it comes up, you know, xxkyyeft3@au.com, which now you know it's garbage. But mine came up from account-update@amazon.com. How are they doing this?
Yeah, one, if you look at it closely, you might find a Cyrillic letter in there, like the letter A. Looks very much there's a Cyrillic letter that looks a lot like our letter A, and there's other little tricks that they can do in there, or they can actually take over the Amazon email account that, you know, Amazon itself could have been compromised. That's probably not this case, but that's happened in other cases where the business or the website has been compromised, and they blast out emails across the entire Rolodex of that, you know, that website, basically. But this is internet-based. It can be phone. It can be text. It used to be a bricks-and-mortar scam, right? This is basic social engineering 101. These were boiler room operations back in the old days. Now they are using the electronic means.
I've even received emails from my own domain to me. And when I call, you know, my provider, they said this is called spoofing. They are incredibly good at masking. And so, you know, I can use a magnifying glass and there will be no Cyrillic A. There will be nothing in there except letters that say exactly the corporate name next to the .com, which is what you always look for. So is this now something we just need to be, we just have to get used to this, the new normal. You're going to get emails from your bank and they look completely legitimate. The address is your bank, and they just aren't. Is this just our new normal?
It is the new normal. The internet's a high crime neighborhood, and there's new rules here. And I would lay out a couple of them. One is, if you didn't initiate a transaction or a contact, if you didn't initiate it with an email or a phone call or a text, don't trust it. Verify it by phone, you know, an actual phone call to a live person, the old-fashioned way. Most things that look too good to be true are too good to be true. That, you know, there's another case that we're going to talk about, I think, that involved a pretty significant return on a Bitcoin investment. That just doesn't happen. I'm sorry, people invest in Bitcoins and make money, but when they start promising triple, you know, quadruple, quintuple returns in a short period of time, oh, by the way, you need to put more in, then more and more and more, they're always too good to be true, and you should always stay away from them. Always deal with real registered investment advisors, people who are certified and credentialed. This happens day in and day out. I've had relatives fall for it in tragic circumstances. I had one grandmother that gave up $300,000 on the internet.
I mean, it's heartbreaking to see how easy it is, you know. And again, Nicole's young, she's smart, she's savvy, she's digital, she worked in coverage of scams like this. And if she can fall for it, God bless the 60 to 90-year-olds out there who are, you know, struggling a little bit with digital at times. So they're a real ripe environment. And I think you're right. The advice is just never, you know, just never, ever, never, ever, ever click or respond. Only, you know, reach out on your own investigation. If you have to look up the phone number of the bank, if you have to look up the phone number for the customer service, do so. But don't take their suggestion. Which brings me to my next question. I feel as though this has become a real organized crime era. You know, this isn't just a few guys out there who are doing this in their basements. There are actual call centers that are run by syndicates that have managers and structure, and they have, you know, training, and it's an organized crime.
It is. I mean, if you scratch and peel back a couple layers of the onion on any internet scam, is probably a Russian criminal enterprise somewhere in Eastern Europe or Russia itself. They enjoy a whole lot. They can do it with impunity because nobody over there will arrest them or round them up. There's very little cooperation between federal law enforcement and Russia and some of the satellite states under, you know, that used to be behind the curtain. So, you know, this is a business, and you have to look at it that way. They run it like a business. They sell franchises of call centers, people trained to do this on the dark web. They sell means and methods of scamming people. The malware, for example, is for sale on the dark web. Credit card, stolen credit card accounts, all kinds of different, you know, means and methods of committing scams are franchised out by these Russian organized crime groups. But if you peel it back, that is the staple core business of Russian criminal enterprises.
So, Chris, there was one couple I read about who, a young couple, they were on the phone to their bank, a call that they had initiated, right? But at the same time, they were on another call to what they thought was their bank. So husband's on the call with the bank and the wife's on the call with the bank. And the real bank isn't even aware that this is happening. It's happening in real time, but the real bank doesn't even have the savvy to say, get off that other call. Don't give any codes. Don't give any, you know, last four numbers of your data. You know, like it's that bad that even the banks themselves aren't aware that their customers are getting scammed in real time. Can you get the money back ever? Nicole couldn't, but can anybody else?
Yeah, it depends on the type of scam. If it's a credit card scam or a bank account, they've gotten into your bank account, compromised your user ID, online user ID and password and that sort of thing, and you're a consumer generally, in a general context as a lawyer, that you'll get your money back. If you're a business, the Uniform Commercial Code doesn't give you the same protection. So if you're a small business or any kind of business, it's highly likely you will not get your money back, but you have to keep at it because the fraud departments at these banks are overwhelmed with this work. They're just going to put you in the queue, and it takes time to get to your case and then actually work your case, and you have to file a claim with the bank. If you fell for a scam, a pure social engineering scam, that may be on you, but if it has to do with one of their bank products that they put out, they may well give you, most of the time, you'll be reimbursed. And I'm going to say that in a general sense. It's fact specific. But consumers have more protection than businesses do.
Well, that's at least a tiny little glimmer of hope. But Chris Wecker, I'm so appreciative. I love that you gave the IC3. That's the letter I, the letter C, and the number 3, the Internet Crime Complaint Center.
And watch out for their bulletins as well. They put out all kinds of information on the latest scams and schemes.
There's a lot of Amazon ones coming out right now. So thank you for that. Appreciate
UPS.
It, Chris. Take care.
Right.
Thank
you.
UPS. I get those too. I get like 10 a day. I'm such a sucker. I've got such a target on me. All right, Chris, we're going to call you again. You know it. In the meantime, I want to tell our audience that if all of this has your blood boiling, because it does mine, have I got a treat for you. You're about to meet the scammer who is scamming the scammers. A digital vigilante who is so good at his craft, he does this just for fun. He toys with them. He tortures them. Up next, how he's turning the tables. Okay, just when you thought that we were all helpless in a sea of digital phishing thugs poised to steal our savings every time we open our email, we found the guy who has your back. Arya Intavong eats online scammers for breakfast. He has mastered the art of scam baiting. That's luring in the con artist right into his computer and ensnaring them in a trap. Take a look at this clip as he fakes his voice and he pretends to be a young damsel in distress. He's on with the scammer who is pretending to be from the Microsoft help desk. Take a look.
It says, do you want to allow this app to make changes to your device?
Click allow. Yes.
Can you get my photos back? That's what's important to me. You think you can get my photos back? Because I just, I don't want to lose my photos.
I will try my best to get them back, miss.
Okay.
First of all, I would have to get connected to the device.
How are you do you have to come here? Because that's, I don't know if that's safe with COVID.
No.
Look at that. Oh, you just missed it. It was a smirk that was so awesome. He just is delighting in stringing this guy along. Joining us now is scam baiter Arya Intavong. Arya, I think I was baited into watching you on YouTube for about an hour today because your videos are just so deliciously fun. Tell me a little bit about how you got into scam baiting, getting back at the people who drive us crazy.
Well, I appreciate you having me. I got into this because I'm actually primarily a filmmaker and I'm a video producer for BuzzFeed. And I tend to do these investigative pieces for BuzzFeed. And I wanted to do a piece about scams because my relative was scammed, but also my dear friend Jonathan Neal was also scammed. His chocolate factory got scammed out of thousands of dollars by one of these criminals. And so I wanted to do a piece about it. And that's when I met these scam baiters who taught me everything they know. I'm honestly still very new to the world, but I just fell into it, and it's just a fascinating kind of relationship you kind of develop with this community of people who are, as you said, vigilantes trying to do some good in the world.
So tell me a little bit about like the art of doing this. I just saw that one little clip of you pretending to be sort of almost like a teenage girl, but you've got all sorts of characters. You've got a machine that can change your voice into just about anything. Who do you become?
Yeah, I have a voice changer and I have an acting background, so I have a lot of fun with that. You know, I have characters ranging from the character you met, Jessica, an actress in LA. I have an older character. Her name is Agnes Dolores Higginbotham. She's a bit of a saucy minx, a bit of a swinger. And, you know, she's fun because I think these characters, they kind of play exactly into what the scammers want. Because for them, sadly, the elderly are their target demographic. And so when I put on the voice changer, that's when they really get reeled in. Because if I'm using my regular voice just like this, they're probably going to suspect that I'm just, you know, stringing them along because I'm going to sound like a younger guy that probably is tech savvy. But for them, an elderly person like Agnes is just sadly, you know, it's their prime target.
Prime target. So the way that you explained it, you're way, way beyond what I could ever possibly do. And I know that a lot of our viewers who are watching right now would love to do what you do, but it is really tricky. You basically create a phony computer inside your computer and then you pull them into it. So you use your language and describe a little better how you get these guys.
Yeah, I'll try my best to. You know, I've been blessed to have a lot of great scam baiting mentors like Jim Browning and Mirko Soft, and they taught me these things where Because even I'm not the most tech savvy person, and anyone watching out there, you actually don't have to be that tech savvy. There are websites that have databases of numbers that you can just pick up on your phone and call as you would prank call a friend. But at this time, you're doing it for a good cause. However, yes, if you want to get a little bit more sophisticated with it, what I use is called a virtual machine. It's like a faux computer within my computer. It's like a digital sandbox that the scammers can connect to, mess around, and then I can just flip it back to being normal without harming my actual computer. Because typically a lot of these scams, the scammers like to connect to your computer. They get to see everything you're doing. They get to mess around with the internal operations of the computer to further their scam, especially when it comes to an elderly person who may not be very tech savvy. For them, being able to manipulate the computer screen to tell the story they want to tell helps them greatly. And so I just let them connect and have fun with my fake computer, and knowing all along that I'm perfectly safe because my actual computer is A-okay. But yeah, like I said, you don't have to be tech savvy to do it.
You give them a phony computer. They think you're in your computer. You show them bank information, names, mm-hmm. social media profiles. All of this is in an effort to just string them along for days. Take them out of their marketplace for days. Absolutely. Where they just think that just a little more work and they're going to get you for everything they have. There was this one guy who was so desperate to build trust with you. You actually convinced him to rehearse a scene from Gossip Girl. I want to play that clip for a moment. Take a look at this.
Blair, I saw you with Chuck.
I don't know what I was thinking. I mean, sleeping with him once, maybe I could understand, but twice?
Wait, you slept with him?
Shh.
Yuck, Blair!
What happened to no judging?
I'm not, but I thought you wanted to wait. I thought you wanted to make things special.
Oh, so Nate gets the free pass and I'm the slut.
Tell me you didn't sleep with
him. There was this... I cannot believe it. That must have been so much fun for you. The other clip that I loved was that, like, you're able to get these guys to even fall in love with you if you keep them on mm-hmm. the hook long enough. One of them has sent you nude photographs of himself before.
Oh, yeah.
But then there was this scammer. You got a scammer to sing, I think, Enrique Iglesias for you, all in the hopes that he was going to be able to eventually get the payoff and steal
exactly.
everything that you had. So let's watch that moment where you had that guy on the hook and had him singing. Take a peek.
If you sing, I will tip you. On top of the $200, I'll add $50.
Have I told you how good it feels to be me when I'm in you?
Ultimately, what is the joy that you get here? Do you delight in basically eventually saying, guess what? It isn't just the 19-year-old actress in Hollywood. You got me and you got scammed. Like, what's that moment like?
You know, it's funny you say that because I think everyone, because I stream these to people online as well, these calls. I think everyone thinks that is kind of the moment you kind of build towards, right? The reveal where you get to say, hey, I gotcha. But what we've learned and what I've been taught from my mentors like Mirko is that you actually don't want to reveal that. You don't want to tell them that this was all a bait all along, because while you get that maybe that immediate satisfaction of being like, I gotcha, they're going to be angry for a moment, they'll move on. However, the real kind of sick pleasure you can take from it is actually just dangling that carrot in front of them, you know, and not revealing it. So that way at night, because they work like salesmen, they work on sales and bonuses. That way at night, they're wondering, oh, I was so close to that sale. Like, can I still get them? You want to keep them on the hook. That's how you keep them. You keep them on for days. And furthermore, these scammers, they tend to sell numbers to each other. So they're wasting money selling a fake number around, which is ideal because, but then obviously if you do tell them that it was all a joke, they're not going to sell the number. So the long game is you do want them to keep believing that they actually had a victim on the line. Although it is quite satisfying as well to be like, hey, I gotcha. And just hearing them rage for a moment. It's a double-edged sword.
I love the way you think. Just keep them out of the marketplace. If they're scamming
exactly.
you, which they're not going to end up doing, they're not scamming, you know, 80-year-old
exactly.
Edna, you know, in the Midwest. So thank you. And by the way, it makes for awesome content. Like I said, I could have probably watched for a whole lot more hours if I didn't have this news show to do. But thank you for doing what you do, Aria. I recommend sit down and just take in all of his work because Aria Intivong, Inthvong, if you Google it, you'll see his stuff. It's awesome. Welcome back. I need you to listen extra closely to our next story because A, you don't want to miss a detail, and B, I don't want you to be confused by the person's name. Stories about a police sergeant in Florida whose last name is Police. Except it's not Police, it's Police. P-U-L-L-E-A-S-E. Police. So there's the confusion out of the way. This is him. He's a 21-year veteran of the Sunrise Police Department. There he is on the left. He's receiving an award in 2019 from the Sunrise Police Chief, Anthony Rosa. That's the chief on the right. About 2 months ago, Sergeant Police answered a call to help arrest a battery suspect who was putting up quite a struggle. The officers got the man handcuffed eventually. They got him into the squad car, but Sergeant Police apparently wasn't satisfied, so he, quote, engaged in a verbal altercation with the suspect in a manner that was inappropriate and unprofessional, end quote. This is not me talking. That's the direct quote from the chief, Chief Rosa. Sergeant Police didn't just yell at the guy. He apparently threatened him with pepper spray. And remember, the suspect is already handcuffed and in the back of the cruiser. So at least one of the officers who was on the scene got the feeling that lines were being crossed. So she ran up to Sergeant Police, her much larger, much more experienced, and her superior officer, grabbed him by the utility belt and pulled him backward, away from the squad car, just like you see there. And then the sergeant spun around and grabbed her by the neck and then pushed her against another car and then went back to continue doing what he was doing with the suspect. So I want to play that whole clip again so you can see the whole thing. Goes right after her, pushes her back. She's up against the car just out of view. And then he goes back to the suspect. But there she was, grabbing him, pulling him by the utility belt. And there he is, grabbing her by the neck. It's about 12 seconds start to finish. I want to show you the same clip from the sergeant's body cam, though. Watch the upper left corner of your screen. His hand is on her throat only for an instant. But, you know, I think the deal is here, it's just an instant too long. We don't know what anybody said in these clips. They're silent because the chief is withholding the audio from these clips until the investigation is over. So in the meantime, Sergeant Police is on desk duty. He has been stripped of supervisory authority for the behavior that Chief Rosa calls, quote, disgusting. And the officer who intervened, her name is not being released, but she's 28 years old with 2.5 years on the force. And the chief says that she did exactly the right thing. I have so many questions and two very seasoned experts to put those questions to. Tom Ruskin is a security consultant and retired detective with the NYPD, New York City Police Department. Sergeant Cheryl Dorsey is a retired 20-year veteran of the Los Angeles Police Department. Her latest book is The Confidence Chronicles, The Greatest Crime Never Told. Okay, Tom, I'm going to begin with you. Just give me your reaction to the video you saw.
Very disturbing. I mean, she did everything you would want to train an officer to do. And as a supervisor, why he intervened to the extent he did, even if he helped the other officers cuff the suspect, he should have then stepped away. And she did everything that we would have wanted one of the officers to do in Minneapolis, St. Paul, in the Derek Chauvin case. You would have wanted one of the officers to push Chauvin off of Mr. Floyd.
You know, Sergeant Dorsey, do you think it's possible that female cop was actually trying to protect her fellow officer from ending up on the news if he'd gone too far? Maybe she's just thinking, it's not that you're going to hurt the guy, but let's just stop this before it becomes a video.
Absolutely. You know, that's how I was trained on the LAPD. A good partner intervenes if you see your partner losing it. If he's not able to communicate appropriately with an individual, you say, hey, partner, let me talk to him. In this case, we see a supervisor with hands or about to mace. Maybe he already did mace, use pepper spray on this handcuffed suspect. And so this female officer goes over and grabs the sergeant to try to keep him from losing his job. And I know a little bit about that because, actually, I had a training officer do the exact same thing to me when I was a probationary officer. He put me in a pain compliance hole, and I didn't know what to think of it. I didn't know what to do as a result of it because I had many of my peers telling me, don't do anything, don't cut your nose to spite your face. You've got your whole career ahead of you. I hope this officer gets a really good attorney and deals with that department and ultimately that supervisor because nothing is going to happen to him. He's tenured. I promise you, he's probably already had a conversation with the retirement council. He will pull the pin before they have time to deal with him administratively.
It's interesting. Tom, real quickly, what do you think is happening with the female officer? Even though the chief is saying she did everything right, what do you think the fellow officers on the beat and those in the office, how are they treating her, do you suspect?
That's a very interesting and good question. I would hope that they are supportive of her, but I know sometimes police cultures sometimes cannot like someone who did that, even though we are changing the way we educate our cops now. And what she did was absolutely appropriate. And she may have, as the other sergeant said, she may have saved that sergeant his life and his job.
I mean, it's possible, right? Although, you know, if her mission was to get him off the news, he's on the news, you know. We can't put our hands on a cop, so I'm a little astounded that he thought he could. Okay, Sergeant Cheryl Dorsey and Tom Ruskin, thank you both. Appreciate it. Good to see you both.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, exactly how does one get out of this next image? Take a picture. Yikes. That looks a little scary. Brutal weather creating havoc all over the continent after the break, where the snow got so bad it actually took a bulldozer. It was tractor against truck. That's coming up next. I know that you're seeing a lot of bad weather reports on the news this week, like Snowmageddon 2022 and snowpocalypse and severe snow and ice across the Midwest and the Northeast. And yes, I hear you. It is January, and that means it's winter. And that is what happens in the winter, right? Except that some of the weather that we are getting is not quite what January usually orders, especially in places further south like North Carolina. Where one guy certainly was not used to the kind of conditions he got on an icy Durham bridge yesterday. And even though the picture doesn't suggest it, the driver's actually okay, thank God. But then there's all the other crazy weather pictures that have been rolling across the country and across our news feeds, a veritable cornucopia of extreme and destructive conditions. Look at that. Tsunamis caused by underwater volcanoes and landslides underwater. Gerard Giovelli stares at weather conditions all day, every day for a living. He is a News Nation meteorologist, which is a good thing because I want to know what is happening. Why, Gerard, are we getting all these crazy pictures? And I get it. It's winter. That's not what I'm getting at.
You get all of it in the winter time. You can go to any side of the world, get any kind of weather you can imagine, Ashley. But, it seems like we have really bought into seeing a whole lot of extra winter weather this year. And yeah, it's reaching down south a little further, that's for sure.
So the Georgia pictures I thought were crazy. They got upwards of 10 inches of snow. And I don't think the state of Georgia is ever used to hearing the word snow, let alone a picture like this. This is a roadway, believe it or not, in Georgia. Looks like Winnipeg, where I grew up. But they just don't have, you know, the infrastructure to deal with this. They don't have the salters and the sanders and the plows and all the rest. So it's really debilitating.
Without a doubt. I mean, Georgia, when you hear snow, there's a sort of a panic / excitement. Everyone wants to see it, but at the same time, they all go rush to the stores and get their French toast supplies, the milk and eggs and bread, and they clean them out. They're not quite used to that, and they know that they could be snowed in for several days, knowing that there just may not be a way to get around after it happens. Up here in Chicago, it's a little bit easier to deal with when we get about a half a foot of snow. Down there, it can totally shut everything down, even for snow amounts, much less than that. But aside
from
that,
look at the pictures, Gerard. Like, I looked up at the screen for a second, and I could have sworn we were looking at Toronto, but it was still Georgia. It looked like a gingerbread land, a winter wonderland. And speaking of Toronto, one of our producers asked his dad to send a picture of him shoveling snow today up in Toronto. It's not that far north, you know. You can drive to Toronto from New York in about 7 hours. And look at that picture. That's
unreal.
James Maloney, Chris Maloney's dad, who sent the picture. And this is what they're all dealing. I mean, this isn't really normal for Toronto either.
I mean, without a doubt, we're seeing it happening a little bit further south. But, you know, a lot of times we get at least one big winter event somewhere down south. Remember last year, we got pummeled down in Texas with that really frigid Arctic air. I mean, we're talking about record-breaking forever down in Texas. And this year, it's icing. And you know what? We may actually get another event in some of the exact same areas by the end of this week.
Welcome,
I'm tracking that
winter.
Right now.
Winter 2022. Gerard, mm-hmm. thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Ashley. Have a great.
You too. Coming up next, two cultural milestones celebrated this weekend, one who made us laugh, and one who made us think. Why both mattered so much to our culture and to our country. Next. If you, you know, are on social media, Facebook, Instagram, all over the place, even if you're not, even if you just, you know, watch a little news here and there or talk to, I don't know, people, you'll probably know that today marks the 100th birthday of Betty White. And that's really a bittersweet thing to say, you know, because she died a little over 2 weeks ago before she could actually hit that milestone. There were so many things planned for her, too, specials and all sorts of stuff, which is now not going to happen, obviously. But the outpouring of love made it clear, you know, how much she touched our hearts in the 8 decades that she entertained right across the big and the small screens. So go ahead and just say it. Happy birthday, Betty White. And then, of course, there is this massive cultural moment today, the MLK long weekend. You just went through. It's always a nice break from work and school, chance to rest, refresh, spend time with friends and family. You probably saw news coverage of the civil rights events that were going on all over the country today. Hard to believe when you see the images of Martin Luther King Jr. that he was only 39 when he was assassinated. Look at him. It's just amazing how much he accomplished in those 4 decades. He would be 93 today. Here's an interesting fact. He's the only non-president to have a national holiday dedicated in his honor. So when you get your day off and you enjoy your time, make sure you just remember the people who pave the way. Thanks for watching, everyone. We'll see you back here tomorrow night.